Friday. Welcome back to the Sleepers Podcast. More importantly, welcome back to Riley Friday. You are in the arms of the one and only Riley Davis. And let me tell you from experience, that's a warm, comforting place to be. Riley, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. We're on the threshold of a weekend where we get both the College World Series and Father's Day. So I'm going to say on those matters for right now. Might be revisiting them later, but I'm in high spirits. I made myself a pour over coffee this morning. We're buzzing. Vibes are high. How about y'all? How are y'all doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Why do your shoulders look so broad today? Is it the shirt, or have you just been like hitting shrugs pretty hard this week? They look broader than usual.
I'll take that. I'm gonna say it's, in reality, it's probably the angle. But I've been doing a lot of farmer's carries recently. So, yeah, that's going to be my explanation behind it.
Respect. When's the last time you did a Turkish get up, Riley?
That's where you're like, that's the ab workout, right? Where you push up with your shoulders and get up off
like,
the ground.
You're like laying on the ground and you got the kettlebell and you get up. Yeah, when's the last time you did that?
It's probably been like a year and a half, 2 years. I haven't done a Turkish get up in a while.
All right, I challenge you to do that next week. But I'm doing great. Sorry, Gregory. How are you doing?
You guys were like speaking a different language there for a second. Are you guys like Portuguese? What the hell is a Turkish getup?
I think it's a core exercise technically. Yeah. But you literally lay on the floor holding a kettlebell above your head, and you basically got to get up while not using like arms or anything. So you're basically just engaging your core to get up. It's actually very, very hard.
And you think that has something to do with Riley's shoulders?
Well, you're holding a kettlebell above your head.
Yeah. Also, I just know that Riley is just this weight room connoisseur. So I feel like he knew he did a Turkish get up recently, but I was wrong.
Got it.
Once again, Carter and I are on the same wavelength. Hence why I did not get fired on the air when Greg tried to pull a fast one earlier this week.
Hey, listen, I am strictly just trying to look out for the best interests of us as an organization. And if we had to trim the fat, we would trim the guy with the broad shoulders.
Well, at least it's because of your shoulders.
Yeah, it's nice shoulders. Carter, are you a big like workout on vacation guy? You're on vacation right now. I haven't seen you with like a kettlebell.
I actually do, because on vacation, like I'm indulging. Like I'm not thinking about anything. I'm living my life to the best of my ability. It does feel good if I can do like something, just anything to like start the day. Just so like I don't, and it, obviously it's a mental thing for me. I'm a mental small person, not mental midget in that case. I feel like I can justify the rest of my activities for the day if I do something in the morning.
Okay, good to know. The sky looks really blue behind you.
It's actually very clear today, and it wasn't supposed to be. So, like, definitely after this, having a pool day. This is my last day here. So, like, it's also a day where I need to finish everything that's in this house. And there's a lot. There's a good amount to finish. So your boy might have a day once he hops off here. I'm not going to lie to you.
You also have an off day. This is your last recording. Normally we record on Fridays for Monday, but you're off tomorrow. So this is like a true vacation for Carter. Finally, we'll see how that goes. All right. Should we get to a YouTube comment of the day, Cart?
We should. This one comes from Aaron Weeks. He says, I love Underwood. So happy that he is the Illini coach. That being said, what are your thoughts on his in-game coaching, which becomes more and more important when you don't have a superior, talented roster? Illinois having the 10th best roster but finishes 6th due to Underwood seems backwards to me. This staff has zero defensive-minded coaches. This team doesn't have any go-to guys to outscore everyone. Add Riley, 4-6 is possible. Miss him. The Illini are on the bubble.
Riley, your thoughts?
Here's what I'm going to say on the matter. I think I've been on record saying this before. In-game adjustments are vastly overrated. If I was hiring a coach, that would be like number 5 to number 6 on what I'm most looking for. Just go get talent. Underwood's clearly good at that. Appreciate it. It could be worse.
Yeah, I just like, I think it makes perfect sense why if we think they have the 10th best roster, they would finish 6th, because Underwood is worth 4 spots because he's been winning the most Big Ten games out of everyone for like 5 years. Like, it's him and Painter, right? There's no denying that.
Also, like, I think on the subject of this, people need to realize no coach is perfect. Literally, no coach is perfect. Like, all coaches have their deficiencies in some way or the other, unless you're Dan Hurley, I guess. You really don't, or like Bill Self of the world, but that's why they're at the upper echelon of the coaching hierarchy. If your biggest gripe with your coach is his in-game adjustments, I think you'll be fine because he can do everything else. Like, I'm with Riley. Like, in-game adjustments are sometimes extremely overrated. Maybe it hurts you at a time where, like, you it accentuates that, but I'd rather have a coach that, like, gets talent and has a great game plan so he doesn't have to make in-game adjustments, or, like, runs a great offense or does great things defensively. Like, in-game adjustments is like a cool-ass buzzword for like the Sean Pauls of the Twitter world, where they can like prop up coaches. And that's no shot to Sean Paul.
What a stray. Oh, my God.
That's not a stray. I love
you made a fantastic point. You could have just stopped without going to Sean Paul. Good God.
I will say I'll rein us back in. So I will say, like, what was Underwood's quote in the middle of the UConn game where it was something like, yeah, we're going to keep going at Klingon, which that's where I can see this YouTube commenter's point. Like, maybe stop going against the guy who you were 0 for 20 against at the rim that game. But generally speaking, I'm team Cart with that. Have a good game plan. Get guys to buy in. Spend all season getting it to gel. And, yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, you also lose that game, even if you don't go at Klingon over and over again, too. Like, maybe you don't lose by 40 and give them a 30-0 run, but you probably still lose that basketball game. It was UConn.
Yeah. The last in-game adjustment that Riley saw benched two of his guards and sent his team home. So I can see why Riley's against in-game adjustments.
Gregory.
Yeah. That is definitely part of why I'm against in-game adjustments.
Yeah, I
just
mean,
play your guys in crunch time.
Riley, Carter, you had an infamous in-game adjustment to put Ben Carter in the middle of a 2-3 zone. Like, when do in-game adjustments ever work out?
They don't.
They don't work for like 2 to 3 possessions, then go back to what you're good at.
Yeah. Like, ooh, a little spice. Like, ooh, a little Spike Albrecht in the title game. Like, how about back to Trey Burke? That'd be great.
Right. People forget that same game. Pax and Wojcik hit the first three of the second half for UNC and should have immediately gone back to the bench. Put the studs back in. That's all I'm going to say on the matter.
All right. Let's move on. Thank you for the question, though. Let's get to our Discord. Join the Discord. Another great week in the Discord. A lot of discussion ongoing in there. We had a bunch of people join, and we have already shouted them out throughout the week, which means we can move directly to our comments section. Quick reminder, here's me putting my foot down briefly. Let's try and keep the comments section to actual comments, because there have been a lot of like back and forth that people don't actually want us to read on the air. And it's pretty hard for me to actually sort through everything live on the air as we do this. So that's just a gentle reminder. That's all you got to do. And now I'm still scrolling because there's like a huge back and forth between Jay Hart and Guy. There's like 30 comments. I don't even know what I'm supposed to say. Purdue Fox, here's where we start. Says, I took your advice and started daydreaming about my rival school, and now I'm scared of rent-free comments. I don't think this plays out, but which Big Ten player is most likely to leave their team when NIL considerations don't materialize? I find it hard to believe Great Osabor is worth $2 million when Balo bodies him or when TKR owns him in the tournament. And if it's considerations, what happens if that changes? Riley, do you have a player that would be most likely to leave their school because NIL doesn't work out?
You mean like they don't get paid what they were promised?
Yeah, like just a straight up like, hey, my needs aren't being met. The promises have not been delivered. I'm opting out of the season.
Is it great? I mean, $2 million. I know they publicly released that, so you probably think they'll follow through on it. Could it be an Illinois front court player? I'm sorry. I don't wish that on Illinois fans. I love the Illinois fans out there, but it's there's a lot of like high upside unproven guys in the front court. And if one doesn't hit and they're not making their money, like I'm pretty high on Kerry Booth's ceiling, but he could be the odd man out. does he pull the my dad's an NBA GM card? I'm too good for this. I'm out of here. Like, that's the that's the path I could see it going down.
Classic college basketball. My dad's a lawyer. move right there. I could also see like Big T just being like, this sucks. I go back overseas. Like, let me get my passport back. I'd also like to send a shout that maybe Bryson Tucker might be that guy, because I truly believe that Mike Woodson doesn't realize what any of his players are being paid and or making. And he might have promised Bryson something that he doesn't even know, and he'll deliver it. And Bryson be like, but you promised me 20,000 more. And Woodson's just like, huh? What? Oh, my bad. And Bryson just leaves.
I was going to say AJ Storr, but then I realized like Kansas will just pay him. Like,
Kansas doesn't want to worry themselves with if it's really like a couple extra $100,000 he wants, here you go. We don't want to deal with that drama.
Yeah, I think it needs to be a school that there's at least some question of like, can you actually pay people? Which is going to lead me to like my third antagonistic thing at Riley Davis. I tried to fire you yesterday. Then I made a joke at your shoulder's expense. Now I'm going to say maybe Cade Tyson leaves because he's not getting paid. Are we sure Carolina has money? Is that maybe why they haven't been able to land a center? Is because maybe they actually don't have the money we all think they have?
Carolina has money. You don't have to worry about that.
Are we sure?
We're sure.
Don't have a center.
Shutting down the poor allegations.
I mean, we don't have a center.
We're sure. Just stay tuned.
Whoa.
Oh, we got to stay tuned. Okay. Eric NJ Boiler says, Nicholas Caminia was number 14, right? He jumped off the screen when I was watching the U18 team. In my opinion, he should get offers from the entire top 25. Car, we did Nicholas Caminia yesterday. You echo that sentiment?
Yeah, I do. I think that he has the type of game where maybe his role would change depending on what top 25 school he's at, but he would have a prominent role. It's just depending on what he wants. But I think, like, honestly, his play and role at the U18 level, I think, further accentuates the point that I just said. Like, I think you can plug him into, if it is a team full of superstars, you can plug him in, he can play there, or he can be at an even higher role, like what you saw him at the high school level with Harvard Westlake. So yeah, I agree with all that.
Fam says, happy Bluffs Friday, everybody. As the highly anticipated Wives episode builds hype, how much do you think this is actually ever going to happen? Also, Natalie, parentheses spelling, you never know down south, would need to be included given Bluffs is full time now. Bonus from 1 to 10, 10 being over the moon about participating. How much do you think each of your wives even want to do this? I'll hang up and listen. Riley, first off, how likely is it that we do a wives episode?
Probably a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10. It's been teased for a few months now, and it hasn't happened.
It's true. I think that's a good read.
Yeah, probably. I put it at like a... I think Meg would get on, but I don't know if people are getting as much college basketball talk as you want. Like, there would be other topics discussed, which might be a hit. Who really knows? But you know, never really. I can never really doubt it. The Meg Mal chemistry is already there. I'm sure Natalie would fit right into that, especially because I thought like Meg and Mal wouldn't get along back in the day. If we were really going to talk about that, like, I thought that there would be some wife tension with Greg and I significant others, but they really persevered.
Yeah. It's a special relationship there. Car, do you think it's more or less likely that the wives episode happens or I do the Tang bet?
It's more likely you do the Tang bet.
Definitely more likely I do the Tang bet. Yeah, I agree.
Are you going to do that?
I'm definitely going to do the Tang bet. Yeah, definitely. I'm not. I lied to the Discord. I said I was doing it actively. I just didn't tell him, but I will do the Tang bet. Don't know.
Melba was spot on in the Discord saying you're lying because if Greg was doing it, he would loudly let you know he's doing it.
Very true.
It's very, very true. Said, Melba knows me too well.
Your tongue was suspiciously not orange. I was dying laughing at that.
I do not have orange tongue. Can we get a quick 1 to 10? How much would each of our wives want to do this? 1 to 10, how much would Natalie want to do this, Riley?
I'll give her like a 5 or a 6. I think I would love for like the wives to all, well, my wife to meet your wives in person, get a little chemistry off screen before we hop on the podcast together, before they hop on the podcast, I should say. But I think she'd be open to it.
That would be the most likely occurrence for this, would be like we get a beach house in Charleston for 2 days. And on day two, after they've had 1 day to just like mingle, maybe some charcuterie boards have been shared. It's like, hey, we're all going to have a couple glasses of wine and you guys are going to do 20 minutes on the pod without us.
We're going to run to the local convenience store because Greg thought he was big time and thought he could be at the beach house with no sunscreen. So we got to run and go get him some prescription sunscreen from down the street. Do y'all mind hopping on Zoom real quick and just doing like 20 minutes?
You are such an asshole.
Is that not how it would go?
1 to 10. How much does Meg want to do this?
Probably like an eight, to be honest. I think she really wants to do it.
Okay. So you guys are both just lying. Mal is at like a 2. Like Mal does not want to do this at all. Guy says the intro song to the pod is so good. We need some kind of intro to the non-pod YouTube videos. That's like an Enter Sandman at Virginia Tech football kind of vibe. And then it's just Carter and Brian Ralph sitting in a quiet room talking about Oklahoma State. Any thoughts?
I would 100% talk anything Big 12 in a quiet room with Brian Ralph any day of the week.
I'd love to be in a quiet room with Ralph. People seem to like the intro music. Do you think that's fair, Riley?
I love the intro song. It goes so hard. I think it's the best intro song in any college basketball podcast out there. From Guy's perspective, good Enter Sandman pull. People who know me, people who are on the Discord know I'm a huge Metallica fan, one of my 10 favorite bands of all time. I also have to address the allegations of my favorite album of all time being a Matchbox 20 record. Sorry, this was on my notes to bring up. That's the type of music I generally am indifferent to or hate. Y'all were on the right track when I think Carter did also say Good Kid, Mad City, which is probably my favorite rap album of all time. But I actually might give the edge to College Dropout, Greg.
Yeah, I knew it. I
don't know. College Dropout, Late Registration, Good Kid, Mad City are like the big three for rap albums for me.
So not Matchbox 20.
Not Matchbox 20.
That's crazy. I in my head, I had like you sixth grade talent show just home and now I'm 6 feet from the edge. Wait,
okay, that's Creed. 20, that's Creed.
Oh,
which I do like some Creed. So
no. What's the song? If I go crazy, they will you still call that's me Superman?
That's Three Doors Down.
You're right.
Yeah. Why don't we leave like alternative rock to us? With all due respect, but it seems you're a little out of your element here. And also, just so you know, Carl, it was a horrible misevaluation on your part. As a fellow private school, Catholic school, Caucasian man who dabbled in hip hop in the early 2010s, it was very obvious that Riley Davis had a personal connection to the song We Don't Care by Kanye with the whole like drug dealing just to get by.
Stack your money.
Private school white kids love to act like they relate to that shit.
Okay, you family business. I like how to turn that on the other day. What's the line about if you say you ain't did it, then you ain't did it. And if you did, then that's family business. Of course, private school white kids, we want to act like we relate to that, like knowing people who are incarcerated. Which
just it's a generational start to this episode.
Riley was walking up to get his communion at school and like Touch the Sky was in his head the whole time.
That's such a banger.
All right. Sorry, I got so excited about that comment. I left the Discord for a second. iManor says, Riley, are you looking forward to seeing Cliff and Jaren Stevenson play in the Dean Dome? If Carolina does go to the SEC, I feel over the past few years, the seeds have been planted for a new rivalry.
I'm looking forward to seeing Jaren in the Dean Dome. Unless UNC adds a 5, I'm not looking forward to seeing Cliff. But I will touch on this more in one of the segments today.
Sleeve Nash says, with the addition of Will Riley, do you think Illinois has a top 5 roster from a 1 to 10 aspect? Obviously, their starting lineup isn't as good as others, but I'm not sure many teams have multiple NBA draft prospects on their bench. And then he put parentheses, Trey White and Kerry Booth. Are we considering Trey White and Kerry Booth NBA prospects, Cart?
No.
Yeah, I think the answer is no there. Do you consider it a top five roster in the Big Ten, though, 1 through 10?
Yeah, I think it's a top five roster in the Big Ten, 1 through 10. Yeah.
Is that post Will Riley edition?
Yes. Yeah. They're probably like borderline top. They're probably five, right? Even without Riley or no?
In the mix, man. Without Will Riley, I have a more middle of the pack. With Will Riley, I think there's an argument they're fourth or fifth. I think there's no argument over Purdue or Indiana, and I would say you could argue Rutgers is ahead just given the 2 5 stars. But
yeah, also like another thing, like 1 through 10 kind of get dips into like the in-game adjustment thing. Like you don't, it ain't 10 on 10. Like you need the five to really do a thing, and yeah, they got to go against other five. So
the thing that's lost for Illinois is like, it would be one thing if they had the proven first option guy and all these like wild cards they just needed like 1 to 2 of to hit. It's like, think about last year. They had Terrence Shannon. They knew who Terrence Shannon was. They had Coleman Hawkins. They knew who Coleman Hawkins was. They just needed like one of Guerrier or Damask or Harmon to hit and be good. And then Damask becomes a stud and everything else is easy. This year's team doesn't have a first option at all. Like, they need Boswell to hit and Kasparis to hit and Divisic to hit, and then we can talk. And when you bring in 11 different guys, the reality is at least a few of them are going to be good, but also at least a few of them are going to be bad. We can't sit here and be like, Trey White and Kerry Booth are NBA guys off our bench. They actually aren't good enough because Will Riley and Kasparis are better. Everything's an unknown. Every single thing here is an unknown. And one of the only knowns is that Trey White and Kerry Booth aren't actually NBA guys. Like, those guys are so far off the radar. So I give Brad all the respect in the world. There's a lot of talent. You're very deep. No, I don't think it's a guaranteed top five roster. Guy says, just a reminder that San Diego State played a closer game to UConn in the 2023 national championship than Illinois did in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, no one cares.
Jack J7 says, is there anything worse than a stadium effect on cell signal?
You know, I feel like that's a thing of the past. A lot of stadiums mostly have Wi-Fi that usually works pretty well nowadays.
I thought the same. I haven't noticed it as much in recent years.
I'm surprised Riley doesn't have a more passionate take on this.
On stadium Wi-Fi or stadium cell signal?
Yeah, I thought for sure there was going to be like, I've been thinking about this for years from Riley with like a little finger wag, but we didn't get that.
I just noticed this past like basketball season at UNC games. I was like, huh, my service is actually pretty good in here. It wasn't always the case.
Yeah. Okay. Maynard says, do you think we got the best possible matchups with the SEC-ACC challenge? I'm personally disappointed with the matchups.
We'll discuss this further in topic number one today.
Ooh.
Only thing I'll say is that I got Bama, North Carolina. I don't really care about anything else.
Exciting. Scumbag Sully says, what are your thoughts on Project 2025? Also, can I use one of your houses to recreate Project X?
I don't think, I think Greg's house is probably the best suited for a Project X environment currently. So if you're asking me if you can use Greg's house, yes, you can. But you have to ask him.
You can use my house. There, this was a family house. We purchased it from a family member. And I came to this house in college a little bit, like in the summers. There are a lot of houses in this neighborhood that do throw rather large parties in the summers.
Are you gonna be a Karen type for the neighborhood, Greg? Are you gonna call the cops if they're a little too loud?
No, my mother will though. My mother is a full blown Karen, but she doesn't live here. But if she's like visiting, she will like probably call the cops. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Riley, when's the last time you called the cops on a neighbor?
I have never done that.
Okay, just wondering.
Okay, let's see here. Jack J7, if you're Ty Rogers, how mad are you about Illinois entering and seeming to lead the Will Riley recruitment?
You're probably not mad because I think Ty has just immersed himself in the everyday guy. If there is one on there, I think on the team, I think he's immersed himself in that. Also, like, you got no one to blame but yourself, Todd, to be honest with you. Like, you can't make free throws, and you haven't really shown an offensive threat outside of cutting and dunking and maybe being matched up against a smaller point guard. So, like, what are they supposed to do? Like, they got to go out and get guys. This is your coach. This is your program. This is how Underwood rolls, how Illinois rolls. Like, you got to expect it, unfortunately. Like, it is what it is.
I think Ty wants talent, for the record. I think it would be other guys who are upset that Will Riley is being recruited.
Trey White, for example, is probably upset.
Yes. I think Ty wants Illinois to be good and to win games. Guy says, just a reminder that Frank Ocean made a song about dating a stripper who he does dental anesthesia with, and it's an absolute gem. Guy, why are we reading this on the show, Guy? Why? I know summer breaks off to a good start. I know you've got a Google Doc going with some ideas for us. This is one you can leave off the Google Doc, Guy. But like, we're live on a Riley Friday doing some comments, and you're asking me to respond about Frank Ocean making a song about dating a stripper who does dental anesthesia. That just has no relevance in our world, Guy. It doesn't. Read those words out loud. Let's process some things. Let's grow up a little bit, Guy. We're almost 18 now. Okay, we got to put our big boy pants on when we enter the comment section, Guy. Trevor says, can you rank the top five teams from this year and top five from last year in order so I can get an idea of where the top-end talented teams compare to last year's? I love that idea. Do we want to do that quickly?
So top five teams from last year?
Plus top five teams for next year. Like, how is the country down compared to last year?
I mean, without doing this exercise, I think it's easy to say that it's up this year.
Let's just quickly, like, so last year, UConn, Houston, Purdue would be not arguable. The other top fives on KenPom would be Auburn and Tennessee.
Kick one of those out for my heels. Come on now. Auburn lost to Yale. Boot Auburn. Throw the heels in there.
I'll do that.
I mean, you finished ninth. You finished behind Duke on KenPom.
KenPom's a fraud. We swept Duke. They led for like 30 seconds and both games combined. UNC was a top five team last year.
Arizona, Iowa State.
You can boot Tennessee for Arizona or Iowa State.
Okay, UConn, Houston, Purdue, North Carolina, Tennessee is my official five. So those five have made it into this year's five. This year's five, we would say UConn, Alabama, Kansas. Who else?
Gonzaga, Baylor, yeah. Iowa State, Baylor.
I'm good with Gonzaga, Baylor.
I'm good with Gonzaga, Baylor too. Okay. I would listen to Iowa State, but yeah.
Okay, so UConn, Alabama, Kansas, Gonzaga, Baylor this year. UConn, Houston, Purdue, North Carolina, Tennessee last year. In order, number one is UConn last year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Number two. Are we taking Kansas this year or Alabama this year or Purdue last year?
Kansas this year.
I would argue for Purdue last year, but I'll let you guys
take Kansas. Ah, that might be a wash.
Edie was so good.
Actually, no, I want Purdue last year.
I would too. I would vote Purdue last year over this. So, okay, so we're going UConn last year, Purdue last year. Then I think it's a flurry of this year ones. Then I'd go like Kansas, Alabama this year. Mm-hmm. Would we take UConn this year at five, or would we take Houston last year?
I'd go Houston last year.
Houston last year, yeah, with Shed.
I think Shed's pretty easily the best player, like kind of by far.
Okay, I'm good Houston last year. Then I guess it would be, are we putting North Carolina above Tennessee from last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so North Carolina last year, UConn this year. I would go UConn this year. Hurley.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that last year's Carolina team had more talent, but UConn this year gets the Hurley bump.
Yeah, definitely. I think
I'd
this
say
exercise,
it's closer to a push, though. I don't know.
I think this exercise you'd notice the top end talent once you start going through the rest of like the top 10. And like, because once you get to like 10 or like 10 through 15 last year, I feel like you feel nasty. 10 through 15 this year, I think you feel like a lot better about those teams. Like, I think like this year's 8 through 15 would probably wash last year's 8 through 15.
I'd like to give some serious pushback to that. We don't need to spend more time, but just reading 8 through 15 from last year's KenPom final rankings. Iowa State, who was really good, smacked Houston in the Big 12 title game, made a Sweet 16. North Carolina was a one seed, won the ACC, really good. Illinois made an Elite Eight, won the Big Ten tournament. They were 10th. Creighton was pretty damn good last year, made a Sweet 16, I believe. Gonzaga made a Sweet 16. They're going to get better, yes. Marquette with Tyler Kolek was really good, made a Sweet 16. Alabama makes a Final Four run. Mark Sears last year was great. And then Baylor was 15th. I think those teams all might be better than their counterparts from 8 through 15 this year. I get it's supposed to be a deep year, but as we're doing this exercise, there isn't a UConn from last year, and there isn't a Zach Edey. So I don't know if the country is getting better.
Damn it.
I don't know. The freshman class is better, but I don't know if that means the teams themselves are better. I guess we'll wait and see. Comments have been long today, but a lot of good ones coming in. Let's see here. I just read Trevor's. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, boy, boy. Melba says Carter and Riley need to address the fraudulent statements made in this Discord by Greg claiming that he's secretly doing the Tang bet as we speak. Don't let him weasel out of it by claiming that he doesn't need proof either. That's not standing on business. And then, yeah, she did the further record. If Greg was actually doing this, you'd better believe he'd be loudly telling people.
Yeah, I think we addressed that already.
Yeah. Yeah, I lied. Jack J7 says start bench cut. Tum Tum Nairn, Matt McQuaid, Kyle Ahrens.
Cut Tum Tum, bench Ahrens, start McQuaid.
You bench Tum and you cut Ahrens, and I feel strongly about that. I know I've become the Tum Tum believer here, but not enough credit is given to Tum for what he did to control a locker room that included the guys he played with during that era.
Yeah, I suppose.
Generational leader to keep the wheels on. Same old Lion says, stay low and build my ass. Greg, can you give us a sneak peek to what Luke Combs' new cover will sound like? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I'm a big oversized gentleman and I'm relatable. Happy birthday. I wrote this song. Hate Luke Combs. Malik Perry says, Riley Fries, I think I heard you say your part Puerto Rican. What's a dish that you love to eat?
Mofongo is like the textbook go-to like Puerto Rican food. It's like smashed up plantains, usually served with some sort of protein and a sauce that accompanies it. When I'm in Puerto Rico, though, my go-to is ceviche. I always eat a lot of ceviche.
Ceviche is good.
Love ceviche.
Big fire. Ceviche guy, Cart?
Yeah, well, I mean, not like all the time, but on my honeymoon, I was at least 2 to 3 times a day hitting the all-day, all-inclusive buffet, and they had ceviche on deck all the time. It was so good.
I'm glad that we clarified that you are not an all-the-time ceviche guy, Cart.
You just want me to lie so bad, all and I time. Just I've left those days behind me, honestly.
Not all the time. I'm glad we got note of that one. I was really wondering. That's
right. Yeah, I hope you choke on that coffee.
Malik Perry says, Carter, what does Greg's neighbor and the mafia have to do with Samurai Jack? Have you ever watched it, or were you just shooting from the hip without thinking?
I didn't even say anything about Samurai Jack.
Malik says, I love you, Greg, but Daniel Jacobson has Purdue's second best player. It's a crazy take. Carter had a good best case. If he's 2, Purdue is not good this year. Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that. It was a best-case scenario video. Goodness. I don't always agree with Stephen A. Smith, but what he said about Caitlin Clark not making the team was true. You need to make money. I also want it known that Malik spelled Stephen A. Smith and Caitlin Clark wrong, and I have no idea if he's doing that intentionally. He says, you two are drinking that train oil heavy, so when can we start making bets about Purdue? Because you guys bat for them like it's a homeowner derby. Like B. Hummel, I meant humble.
I look at Malik's comments differently now after recently having watched the Netflix series Baby Reindeer. He types and texts like the character Martha from that show, and I can't unsee it now.
That's horrifying, honestly. Jay Meister says, let's not forget Cart's tattoo that he still needs to get. Do we have a tattoo update, Cart?
We do not have a tattoo update, but I also, I don't know. So when I originally got these tattoos in high school, I got it from a shop from a guy I know, and it was probably back in 2000 and shit, what was that? 2011, 2012, basically when I got it. And he's like no longer there. So like, I don't even know how to go about the tattoo process anymore. Like, I feel like out of the loop and old. Like, do I just walk down the street till I find a tattoo parlor and make an appointment? I might need some guidance from somebody.
Couldn't your guy / our guy Zell hook you up?
He could, but the thing is, Zell, the person he goes to is like a pretty prominent tattoo artist. Like, he's doing like murals and things like that. I don't know if he's gonna do a Sleepers logo tattoo. Oh, that might be too small fish.
I meant, couldn't Zell tattoo you?
Oh, hell no. Absolutely. I mean, not.
I've witnessed it.
That, first of all, that was Lee, and no.
I thought it was Zell who brought stuff.
No, Lee brought it.
Am I completely making this up mentally? Did I just like replace Lee with Zell in my memory?
Yeah, you did.
Wow, what a miss by me.
It's okay.
I figure Zell's the artist here. Sorry, Lee.
We should have let Zell do it, because whatever Lee did was awful.
Yeah, with all due respect to Lee, I would never let him near me with that. Imaner says, who do you project to be Duke starters and key rotation guys? His list is Proctor, Scion, Flagg, Brown, and Maluak starting, and then Foster off the bench, Mason Gillis, and Konkanupel eighth. Riley, why don't you take that one?
I know there's been like a lot of, I want to say Shire and Cooper Flagg's mom said that he wanted to play the three, but I don't see how it's not Proctor, Foster. I think you got to start Foster. I think that was probably a big reason why he came back. I put Scion at the three, Coop at the four. Probably start the year with Malik Brown at the five, but eventually that's Malawatch's spot.
Hard, any changes there?
No, that's what I would say is probably the same.
Who's the other big fish freshman they got? Isaiah, right?
Isaiah Evans.
Isaiah Evans. I just want to go on record. I think he's really good, and I think he's going to start. And I don't know how they make it work, but I think him and Flagg will be the best two players on this team. So
I think Isaiah Evans is. I think Evans is like the fourth best freshman on that team.
Really?
I'd say Flagg, Malawatch, Khan. I think Konkanupel is really good. Konkanupel, whatever his name is.
Nipple's crazy.
Darren Harris. I like Darren Harris a lot. That dude's a bucket. I just think all Evans does is score, and he's skinny.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Konkanupel.
He claps and yells too.
He does clap and yell. He claps and yells a lot. But I think Konkanupel and Harris will both be better.
All right. All right. Malik Perry says, why you guys twist what Cooper said? He answered a question and you two tried to warp what he said without any evidence. Shame on you two. Carter, didn't we just play the clip of what Cooper himself said?
Yeah, good show, good interview by our starting center.
Malik also says, Riley, do you think your two co-hosts should not wave that Purdue flag so hard without seeing them in action without Edie? Like, you need guys to be at a high level without Tree.
I defer to y'all on Big Ten related takes, so I'm going to hashtag stay in my lane for this one.
It wears me down, Cart.
Malik's an idiot, man, but I love him, but he's an idiot.
I love him. I want it on record. I don't think you're an idiot, Malik.
I do. Genius. Like, he's in the Discord shaking like enormous, like astronomical levels of ass for Longwood's backup center, but God forbid Purdue and Braden Smith are good. Like, it's taxing.
I think this is Malik's
taxing my baby reindeer.
I think this is Malik's final comment. He says, thank you for another great week of videos, and I like the clothes you are creating. Carter, how in the world of basketball choices you didn't choose Cohen Mustang Carr? All he do is dunk.
Yeah, Cohen Carr do dunk ball a lot. If play.
Dunky dunk. We have clothes we're creating, Carter. Do you want to talk about that?
I can't. Right now, my mind's not clear. Malik just pissed me off.
All right. At some point we may do like a formal ad on this, but we have partnered with some real life friends of ours, Evan Meyer and Joe Higashi, who are the creative brains behind a company called Swing Happy Golf. They make golf apparel for the everyday golfer, Those guys are also great golfers. We're going to make some golf content with them in July. We are coordinating the logistics on it right now, but it'll probably look a lot like a Bob Does Sports good video, except a lot worse production-wise. But it should be fun. Anyways, they have made us a special collarless polo. You can get a Sleepers logo on the front, sleeve happy or swing happy logo on the sleeve. There's two options. There's a black one and a white one. It's available only to members of the Discord right now, but we get a good chunk of the proceeds and it's really, really nice. I ordered both. So we'll probably promote that more next week, but that's what Malik is referencing. Join the Discord if you want to potentially get your hands on the limited edition Sleepers merch. A couple more here, then we'll get to the show. Guy says, Riley, how do you feel about Action Bronson?
I haven't listened to Action Bronson since he did the feature on the Chance song on Acid Rap.
Great feature, though.
It's such a good feature.
Yeah. He has one line that's like always.
I had the full Bull Pippins with the warm-ups on. It's something like that.
Oh, I got to remember the line now. Carter's disgusted with us.
Is like all the hate that you throw towards Luke Combs is actually what Action Bronson is.
I refuse to advance the show until I figure out what this lyric is. If one of you wants to pick up the comments from where I left off, you can. But I'm gonna find this.
Are you? How many comments are left?
Oh yeah, here we go. Now I'm butt naked in the Lamborghini.
That's the line. That's what we stopped the show for.
It makes me laugh every single time, man. He's just in the middle of like a good verse and goes, "Now I'm butt naked in the Lamborghini."
Yeah, that's so hard.
So good. Purdue Fox says your lawyer segment got me thinking. Which Discord member is the most likely to be on steroids?
Ooh. Which Discord member is most likely to be on steroids?
It's got
to
be Malik, and he starts typing these comments mid-roid rage.
No, I was going to say doctor, to be honest.
I think there's at least a 10% chance Riley Davis has some substances in him.
Never. His body's a temple.
He's really, really strong, right? Like, kind of suspiciously strong.
All right, I do got it. Can I share a quick weight room story?
We're watching our dog turn into Jose Canseco before our eyes.
No. I have not look like used Jose any Canseco substances. Too.
That sounds but like there, somebody who uses illicit substances would say. Like,
there was a guy who I played high school football with who allegedly used HGH. That was always the school rumors. We never confirmed it. And there was one day where we were like testing on like max bench press. We do it pretty much at the end of every like summer workout session. And I can't remember the amount that he hit, but he does his one rep max, gets up off the bench and yells, "Yeah, I'm on steroids." I kid you not.
You're never going to beat the bluffs allegations if the swirling rumors that were going on in the hallways of your school were that a kid was on HGH. That, I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, it's a good story. Guy says, thoughts on minor league baseball player Jost Nixon Garcia being nicknamed the Password.
Okay, I got really upset at this at first, but that's a great nickname. If it's for a good reason. Like, I need to know why. Like, is it because, like, if you throw it past him two times, like, it locks automatically or something like that? But, like, why is his nickname the Password?
It's a pretty great nickname. It is. Riley, any thoughts on the Password?
I was still thinking about HGH. I kind of blacked out on what guy's comment was.
That's it, as a lot of HGH guys do. Purdue Fox says, how many times am I allowed to watch the Purdue first practice highlights until it's considered problematic? I don't think there's a limit. I think as many times as you want. Get excited about your team. Malik Perry says, I might have been a little too much myself, and I would like to say I'm sorry. With no respect whatsoever, lawyer ain't in no damn weight room. Stop it. If he was putting in work, he would have muscles. That man arm looks like a baby chicken wing.
Malik's never stop being you, man.
Malik has more. Final Purdue comment, you glazed donut licking switch hitters. Ash Ketchings decommit isn't a bad thing because I didn't think he was special. So that's a plus by subtraction, and he might be cancer. This guy's got targets and bounties on their asses, and the bright lights is on them to succeed. So hopefully they can live up to the success. Start the show.
Did he actually say start the show?
He ended the comment with start the show.
Oh, Malik, brother.
Dog.
He wrote that at 7:45 a.m. That's the best part.
You glazed donut licking switch hitters is an all-timer. I got to use that in my real life. Sleeve Nash says, went out and bought a pair of OnClouds last week. Carter, don't listen to Brian Ralph. Forget about the Nikes and flip-flops. OnClouds are life-changing.
I'm getting a pair of OnClouds. That's happening soon.
OnClouds are nice. Purdue Fox says, Malik brings up a good point. What are the top five Big Ten players that most likely secret Pokemon trainers that could be Ash Ketchum in a Pokemon battle? We're so far.
Can we get to the show? Can we actually get to the show?
So far off where we need. Cart, we say we read every comment though.
Okay. Well, we read that. We're not answering it. Next comment.
Okay. Sleeve Nash says, I want to officially declare Sleepers as a play till the horn pod. Can't stand players and fans getting upset when some bench player who works his ass off in practice gets a bucket up 22 with 15 seconds left. That should be allowed. And I don't know when these petty dudes started getting upset with that. Can Sleepers sign off on this and be a pro hoop till the horn pod?
I hate playing through the whistle personally.
Right. I hate running through the whistle too. Let's throw that out there too.
Running
through the line. Never confused. Same type of yeah, y'all get it.
Same thought process. The only play till the whistle thing I will endorse is last night Joe Mazzulla did something that I believe is the first time it's been done in NBA history, and it's something I've joked about for years. I texted Card immediately. He stole my idea. He fouled up 8. Joe Mazzulla intentionally fouled up 8 with 10 seconds left last night in an NBA Finals game. And I want to applaud him for that. That's playing to the whistle. If you believe that you should foul up 3, why not foul up 10? That's where I'm at. Let's always foul. When there's under a minute, foul. Foul up 10, foul up 25. It doesn't matter. Joe Mazzulla did that. It led to a victory. PJ Washington missed a free throw, and they covered 6.5. Who's counting? Let's see. Jack J7. Could this year's Iowa State team take the role of 23-24 Michigan State, 22-23 North Carolina, highly ranked preseason team based off last season's success, but ends up not taking a jump?
No, I don't see it. Just because of the defensive acumen alone, I don't think it'll allow it.
Riley.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's part of me that wants to say, yes, you could see the bottom fall out or maybe see them become like a, what were they, like a 10 seed in Otis' first year there, like 2 years ago. But I think you saw too much last year of them being like a surefire top 10 team. I think they have a really high floor, actually.
Yeah, I think the answer is no. I think both the teams you point to had worse regular seasons than Iowa State did last season. So. Right. It's like there's sustainable stuff there. Middle name of teen says, what makes college basketball better than the pros for you? I have this debate all the time with friends and they just don't get it. Riley.
The team that I cheer for is good, usually, and historically good. And it happens to be the school that I went to. That's sort of I would say that's like the foundation of it. At the same time, tradition, rivalries, etc. All that's fun.
Are you alluding to being a little bit of a front runner there, Riley?
Sure, call me what I'll use the Cooper Flag response and say call me whatever you want when they asked him about being a Duke villain. So yeah, I'm taking that persona of my rival 8 miles down the road.
Hart, why do you like college more than NBA?
I mean, it's honestly just personal preference. There's no really like underlying like deep thing we needed to go through. I feel like it's just, what's the phrase, different pokes for different strokes or whatever. Yeah, whatever that is.
Different pokes for different strokes.
Or different hopes for different strokes. Stroke your poke. I don't know.
Carter, when's the last time you poked somebody on Facebook?
You want to know I poked somebody on Facebook? probably in high school. I poked my ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend to let him know, like, if it came down to it, I'm really whooping his ass.
And a Facebook poke sent that message?
Yeah.
This collection, like the fact that I get to do this with you two once a week is like special in and of itself. I don't know where it would go without the Discord, but like I feel like we uncover so many little gems about who you both are as humans that I just wouldn't be exposed to if it wasn't for the help of people like Malik.
Thank you, Malik.
Thank you, Malik. Carter, who are we brought to you by?
We are brought to you by the good folks over at 2K Labs. Now, from the greatness of the 2K badges to the mini games to knowing what, you know, archetypes you want to use for players and things like that, that's great and all. But I really want to speak to the greatness of the draft simulator that you can use on 2K Labs. And on there is a big board where you have all the big dogs rankings. You have the ESPNs, you have the CBSs, and you have the Sleepers Media big board rankings that you can utilize. It's a great tool to use as the draft is coming up. You can do all types of different adjustments and simulators. It's a very fun thing to do. We use it all the time. I highly suggest you do it. I hope that I'm doing this ad read well by doing this, Greg, because I still have yet to get any type of just something to go off of. No type of just anything. I'm just going off of pure heart right here, right now.
Well, that would be because the only thing you need to go off of is the URL itself. NBA2KLab.com is where you can find all of these great things you alluded to. That's what I sent you. And I know you've been spending your time every single day on NBA2KLab.com, playing the mini games, using the draft simulator, looking up the greatest badges for your NBA 2K players. Who needs an ad read when you have the greatness that is NBA 2K Lab itself? We just talk from experience and from our hearts. Thank you, Carter, for that. Riley, could we please hear from the Lord himself?
We can. Today, I have a reading from Isaiah chapter 40. Prophet Isaiah, he has these words for his people Israel. It says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Sleepers, I want you to be refreshed today. I want you to know that you have a God who loves you and who gives you the energy you need to get through your day. So, sleepers, you have been awakened.
Wow.
Keep going hard on them readings, Riley. Salute.
Salute.
Wow. Topic number one today, Riley, what the heck is it?
So ACC-SEC challenge matchups were released yesterday. We're going to go through every matchup and play a game. There's three questions. First is, do you care? The second is, if so, why? If no, we're not even going to talk about it. And the third is who wins.
Mm. Mm. Carter, your thoughts on this topic?
Like, do I care?
No, just like, are you excited for this topic? Is this something you may have prepared for? How do you feel about this topic?
Yeah, I feel a little bit prepared for this. I don't know why.
Do you have it in you to tell Riley that we did this morning already, just without the first two?
We did do it, but I think the three questions adds a little bit to this, honestly, that I would like to speak about.
I'm excited for this exercise because Carter's going to change his answer on at least eight of these already. It's going to be really fun. Okay, Riley, lead us. Take us where we need to go.
All right, let's start with Arkansas at Miami. Do you care?
Yes.
Greg, do you care?
Yes. I thought he was going to do a yes. Why, though?
All right. Let me get the why.
Why I care is because I have emotionally attached myself to Miami and Jahlil Bethea. And also, they still have Nigel Pack still in the fold as well. And it's just, honestly, the guard matchup is what intrigues me the most about this game. That's why I want to watch it.
I care because John Calipari is on a revenge tour, and I will care about every game for John Calipari this season.
So who wins?
Miami wins.
I have Arkansas.
I also have Miami.
Yes, sir, Riley. Lock in.
I think Arkansas is not going to be gelling at this point of the season. Maybe Cal's revenge tour doesn't get off to the blistering start that Wu-Pig-Sui Nation hopes it does. Give me the Canes bouncing back big after getting obliterated by John Calipari in Kentucky in last year's challenge. This one should be quick. Cal at Mizzou. Do you care?
No.
No.
Who wins?
Missouri.
Yeah, it's Missouri at home.
Also Missouri. Florida State at LSU. Do you care?
No.
No, I don't.
This got a not whatsoever from me. Like, mega don't care.
Wow, mega
Jameer Watkins. I love you. I wish you would have gone to a different school. I got LSU winning, though. They're the home team. Have more talent.
Fair.
I got Florida State winning, just for the record.
Georgia Tech at Oklahoma. Do you care?
No.
My heart cares a little because I will always sort of care about Porter Moser, but my basketball eyes, no.
I gave it a barely, and what you said about Porter Moser, I say about Damon Stoudemire. Georgia Tech has a little bit of talent. They really do.
Yeah.
They got Nathan George. They got, Javion McCollum revenge game. Who wins this game?
I forgot about that. Yeah, Georgia Tech.
It's probably Georgia Tech. They're the better roster, I think.
Yeah, I got Tech as well. Kentucky at Clemson. Do you care?
Yes, I do care.
I guess.
What do you say here?
Like, are we, if we're saying we care about this game, do we care about every Kentucky game? Is that all it is? Like, Kentucky, anyone, do we care?
I kind of do, yeah. Anything Kentucky I care about this season.
If this game's on at the same time as any of the better games, I'm not watching.
You got four TVs downstairs.
Right.
It'll make its way on there.
Probably on the fourth one.
Okay, it's on, though.
But, like, this is not an exciting matchup. We can pretend we care and say it is. It's not.
We care. It's not exciting. Yes.
We only so we care about every Kentucky game then.
I care about Kentucky games. Yes.
Okay.
For the record, I also gave it a sort of, and I got Clemson winning. I think UK has a slightly better roster. Clemson's at home though. They always play well in the non-conference before flaming out. Maybe I shouldn't say flaming out, sputtering in the early part of conference play.
Riley, what does it say about
Kentucky?
What does it say about Mark Pope's Kentucky that the first time like a committee had to decide what matchup they put them in, they were like, that team should be paired with Brad Brownell.
Yeah, it's bleak. I'm like, who could they have? I don't know. Like, just play them against Wake, so at least you have Hunter Salas. You have someone exciting. There's just like nothing exciting about this Clemson team.
Yeah. Also, Kentucky's going to win that game.
I don't hate the pick, but I'm sticking with the Tigers. Notre Dame at Georgia. Do you care?
No.
No.
I think I can say no for all of these. Like, I like watching Shrews team, but I hate ACC basketball outside of Duke and North Carolina. I'm sorry. There's nobody good here.
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
Let's not go that far. Yeah, I don't care either. Asanul. Georgia, Mike White, they win. Ole Miss at Louisville.
Yeah, I care.
Yeah, I care.
I care too. I care. Yeah,
Beard, Kelsey, Ole Miss should be good this season. Louisville should be good this season. I think it's two good teams playing.
I'm going to go statement win by the Louisville Cardinals, and they win big.
I'm going Louisville as well.
I'll take Pat Kelsey, but I want to make it known that unanimously three people on a panel picking Pat Kelsey to beat Chris Beard is a massive mistake.
You could have not picked them.
It should have been like 2-1 though. Like, we're gonna, this would be one we can come back to.
Fair points. South Carolina at Boston College. Oh,
I care.
You care?
I like watching South Carolina. I like Lamont Paris, and I care about TJ Power personally.
TJ Power is not in this game.
He didn't go to Boston College?
He's at Virginia.
TJ Power went to Virginia. Gregory, are you me?
Didn't somebody go to Boston College that I care about?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't care anymore.
I care because I care about Colin Murray Boyles.
Okay, AKA, I'm AKA, with you on that.
AKA my twin. He want to beat me so bad.
I love CMB, but I do not care, and I think South Carolina wins. Let's go. Okay.
Yes. I don't care.
Syracuse at Tennessee.
Don't care.
I guess I don't care. I don't.
I don't care. I think Tennessee is going to obliterate them.
Yeah.
Wake Forest at A&M. Finally, a little bit of juice.
I care.
Yeah, I don't care.
I care. You don't
Greg,
care?
Greg, you care. Come on.
We got Hunter Salas, Wade Taylor.
It's
doesn't
a joke.
Do it for
I
you?
Do care. I do care. All right. Like, okay. Also, like, yuck. Like, oh, yes, Wake Forest A&M. Yes. Let's go, boys.
Hey, you're. I mean, I'll concede to you, my indignant response that you said you didn't care was a little, might have been a little over the top. But I just want Hunter Salas to get his flowers.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can watch a 9 seed that was one of the most underachieving teams in college basketball take on an NIT team, that gets the juices flowing. Am I right, boys?
Oh, yeah.
It's a good game. Yeah, Hunter South's the best player. I have Wake Forest beating A&M for the record because I think Hunter South's statement game.
Not A&M.
I got A&M as well. Bama at UNC.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I care.
It's the best matchup of the challenge.
Mark Sears, RJ Davis, must see. Must see.
Are both of y'all picking Bama to win?
I pick Carolina at home.
I pick Bama.
I'm picking Carolina at home as well. This is partly wish casting. We need this win. UNC has lost 2 in a row to Alabama, and they're taking guys that we're recruiting. I can't stand Alabama fans online who are chirping because they've been good at basketball for like 3 years. So, yes, I need my Heels to win. They're tough to beat at home. Give me UNC. Auburn at Duke. Do you care?
Yes.
Yeah. I think this is going to be an awesome game. I care a lot. Yes.
Are we sure that Alabama-UNC is the best game?
You think Auburn-Duke's better?
I think they're identical, at least.
I would give Bama-Duke the edge because, I would give Bama-UNC the edge because, like I Maynard pointed at, there is a budding rivalry here.
Yeah, also,
but in order for it to be a rivalry, you got to get
an individual.
Win.
And the individual matchup of it is better. Like, if it was... Like, if Jahni Broome and Cooper Flagg were going head-to-head more, then maybe, like, I would find a little bit more intrigue in it. But I think you can't argue with, like, RJ Davis versus Mark Sears and running it back because of last year.
So, yeah. Yeah, okay. Cooper Flagg, Jahni Broome is interesting for me. Like, how does Duke's inexperienced line match up with Jahni Broome? How does Auburn deal with Cooper Flagg? Yeah. Fascinating to me.
I got Duke in that game. I'm still going to wait and see if Auburn can do it away from War Eagle country.
That's a good point. I picked Duke as well. Should be a close game, but now that you mentioned Auburn struggles away from home, very easily could be like Duke by 15.
Yeah. They don't have Donaldson and Katie Johnson to point shave anymore, though, so maybe the guard upgrade will help them.
Yeah, JP Pegu is a superstar, according to Cart, so should be a big...
And Miles Kelly. Don't underestimate Miles Kelly. Miles Kelly, ACC guy, he might light up Duke. I love Miles Kelly.
I'm going to underestimate Miles Kelly some more.
I love when Carter and I are part of the same hives of random players
when you guys have been a hive, how many times has it worked out? Who exactly have you guys hived to success before?
I mean, it's not about hit rate. It's about passion.
But it's just Dylan Dessou in Texas. How'd that go? Who else have
he was first? He was first team All Big 12 after you said he sucked.
How else have we been hiving?
If you want to be a part of them, we can loop you in.
I just think you guys just agree just to agree. Like, I think you find comfort in me being isolated. I think that's what happens. It's a little
No.
I just think Carter and I gravitate to the same type of player archetypes. We both see ourselves in like that Dylan Dessou, like big wing, can score all over the court. Like, it reminds us of our playing days. And Miles Kelly's sort of like that, but just more of a gunner, which, yeah, again, you my playing days on the fifth grade rec league team at Charlotte Christian, Carter's days at Albion. That's what we did. That was our game.
You two could not be more different on the basketball court. Like that, let me make that abundantly clear. And Carter knows this. Carter should feel insulted that you're comparing yourself to him right now. An actual college basketball player, big man center. He's a below the rim big and you're an above the rim wing, Riley. There's no comparison here. This is just you two like to, you guys, any player's name could be brought up and you guys just like to be like, oh yeah, I'm high on that guy. Like, that's what you two do. And somebody has to call you out on it. That's why I'm here. Keep going. Tell us more about the next matchup you guys are excited about.
Pitt and Mississippi State. Pitt wins.
Wait, hell no. Mississippi State wins.
Riley Kukul breakout game? Riley Kukul revenge season?
Josh Hubbard, Kanye Clary.
Okay, Riley Kukul. I'm changing my pick. Mississippi yeah. State. Give me Mississippi State.
Yeah, I like those guys.
Texas at NC State.
Texas.
Let's go. I barely care about this one, but my horns are going to run roughshod through the Wolfpack and PNC. Vandy at Virginia Tech.
No, I don't care.
Don't care either. I think Vandy wins because Virginia Tech's roster is awful. Finally, mercifully, we'll end Virginia at Florida.
I care about that because I like what Virginia did in the transfer portal. I'm actually very excited to watch TJ Power at Virginia. I think Jalen Worley can be a good piece for them as well. And then, as you two definitely know, like, I'm all in on Florida this year and Walter Clayton and Elijah Martin and Real Rashard and all those guys. So, like, I'm very excited to watch this matchup.
Gregory?
You said TJ Powers in this game?
Yeah, he is in this game, yes.
I'm excited about this one.
Okay. he is a who.
I really want to pick Virginia to win this game, but it's just hate in my heart for Todd Golden. So I'll pick Florida. I think they're going to be good this year.
Pick Florida as well. If there is a game for Tony Bennett to say, don't forget about me, it would be this one, though. Early season, we'll have some eyeballs on it. Pro scouts in attendance. Maybe he gets it done.
Who wins, lastly, to end this segment, who wins the handsome matchup, Riley, between Golden and Bennett? We had this discussion. So it's Todd Golden's a little bit younger, but obviously Tony Bennett's one of the most handsome to ever do it. A little salt and pepper going on as well. Where do you lean as far as the handsome matchup in this game?
Yeah, I go Bennett.
Go Bennett? Okay.
Yeah, how about y'all?
That's where me and Greg ended on as well.
Yeah.
We got to stop. We got to shift from the ACC. Greg, we're losing them.
I mean, how many times can one man do, like, how handsome is Tony Bennett before he breaks?
That's true.
Topic number two, what's next?
So let's do some player rankings again. I'm slightly offended I was left out of this 1-10 rankings. I've been looking at the Instagram like, dang, they're doing some fantastic topics without me, and I am interjecting myself in this. So y'all did 1-10. I'm going to give my 1-10. Then I want to do players 11-20.
Okay.
And I want a graphic. I want a good-looking graphic.
And I want a graphic. This is a graphic push for you, isn't it?
So before Riley Davis makes any more demands, I just want to make sure I have this correct. Topic number one, you did a topic we already did. And then topic number two, you're doing a topic we already did while making demands. And this is in response to me firing you the other day?
Yes.
It's a power move. It's a bold power move. I honestly respect the audacity of it, Riley. I'm in for this. Okay.
Also, how was I supposed to know you did the ACC-SEC challenge this morning? I looked at the YouTube feed. Did I see any ACC-SEC videos?
True. You're right. I got to own that. That's on me. You're right. I have our top 10s up. I am excited to hear your top 10. Take us through it.
Yeah. Also, I want to clarify, I did my top 10 without, for the integrity of the exercise, I did not go back to see who y'all had. I saw it as I was perusing Instagram, didn't make any mental notes. So my top 10, Mark Sears, 1, RJ Davis, 2, Hunter Dickinson, 3, Jani Broome, 4, Ryan Kalkbrenner, 5, Caleb Love, 6, Cooper Flagg, 7th, Braden Smith, 8th, Alex Caravan, 9th, Ace Bailey, 10th.
Ace Bailey, 10. Over Dylan Harper. But you have Cooper Flagg in there. Did you have Braden Smith in there? Did I miss that?
Yeah, I had Braden Smith at number 8.
Okay, no Cam Jones.
No Cam Jones.
No Cam Jones, and then you had no Kadari Richmond from me, no Walter Clayton from Cart.
Did y'all have Caravan on yours?
I had Caravan at 10.
He had Caravan at 10. I did not.
So Bailey was the one I had that neither of y'all had.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all have everybody Love? Else was from our two lists.
Yeah, I had Caleb Love.
I did not have Love, but yeah, Cart did. So okay, hold on. Why no Kadari Richmond?
I have him in the next group, 11-20.
Okay.
I just think Kadari, I think Kadari is really good. Obviously the stats speak for themselves. His two-way ability is great. I don't know. It's more probably like being bearish on the pairing with Davon Smith and wanting to see it work for a tournament team, wanting to see it work for a St. John's team that underachieved last year. So
Okay. Yeah. Y'all want me to go ahead with 11 through 20?
So how are we doing this? Do we get to vote on this, or are we all giving our 11 through 20? How do we want to do this?
How did y'all do 1 through 10? I just saw the graphic.
We had our own list prepared. We came with a list.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we probably need to do our own because we all have various different players. But, okay, yeah, Riley, take us through your 11 through 20.
So, yeah, I can go through my 11 through 20, then give some, like, next up just to maybe get the juices flowing. 11, I had Walter Clayton. 12, I had Hunter Salas. 13, I had Cam Jones. 14, I had Kadari Richmond. 15, I had Dylan Harper. Shout out to Rutgers, first team with two appearances on this list.
I don't mean to cut you off. You had Hunter Salas over Kadari Richmond?
That doesn't really check out with my logic of show it to me for a tournament team, does it?
You know, I don't care what logic it checks out. It does. I'm not letting that slide. You can't do that. I know it's Riley Friday, but you cannot do that. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. We can. I might adjust my list. You can have them swapped on your list. But 16, I had Taman Lipsey. 17, Norchad Omir. 18, LJ Cryer. 19, Ryan Nimhard. 20, Wade Taylor. Others considered: John L. Davis, Tremont Mark, VJ Edgecombe. Those are like the next three I sort of had penciled in.
Okay. A lot of names that are currently in my mix here as well. Fun exercise. I think it gets a lot harder when you get to 11 to 20. Like the top, I feel like between us three, the top 10 was pretty consensus, honestly.
Pretty consensus. I think that looking back, I should have had either Kadari or Cooper in my top 10, possibly over like a Dylan Harper. But for the most part, the one thing I will push back on your list, Riley, I think Graham EK deserves to be on there before Nembhard does.
I considered EK. It was down to those two. I just gave Nimhard the nod because I feel like he's more of the engine that makes that team go.
If his brother didn't play so well for the Pacers, would he be on this list?
EK might have got the nod if his last name was Johnson instead of Nimhard. Yeah.
Okay. Just want to throw that out there. But I mean, no, like, I'm just up in arms about that. Besides the whole Salas over Kadari thing, that doesn't sit right with me.
Cart, can we do 11 through 20? Because now I kind of want to get some bars off.
Yeah, we can. Do you have your 11 through 20? I was kind of working on it in the background, but I didn't finish it up.
I'm reordering mine really quick here. Then I will have it in 5 seconds. Yeah, I have it. Maybe okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of these names, I think Riley mentioned all these names except for two, maybe three. At 11, I have Walter Clayton. I thought that was the big one that I left off from Cart's list originally. At 12, I have Hunter Salas. I think those guys could both be player of the year in their conference. I wouldn't be stunned. At 13, I have John L. Davis. I think he definitely is a top 20 player. I don't know how you leave him out if you extend to 20. I thought enough about him in the top 10. He's got to be top 20. 14, I have Grant Nelson. Card has talked me into a Grant Nelson year for Alabama. If you believe in Alabama, you got to believe Grant Nelson is going to be awesome. Cliff Amore is going to help him a ton. 15, I have Norchad Omir. Production, Baylor's going to be great. 16, I have Trey Townsend. The best mid-major player in the country, I think, is actually going to have a chance to be Arizona's best player this year.
And
it's going to
like
be kind
that.
Of him featured, making Caleb Love's life easier. 17, I have Umar Ballo. Say what you want about him. It's not pretty, but this man averages a double-double. And he's going to do that at Indiana on a team that misses a bunch of threes that he rebounds. 18, I have AJ Storr. I don't think Riley mentioned him. He's that talented. And the track record of Bill Self with wings should apply to AJ Storr here. He's the next in line. 19, I have VJ Edgecombe. He is the second best freshman in the country to me, ahead of the Rutgers guys.
At 20, I have Aide Mahaney.
I was wondering when he was going to make his appearance on this list.
He has to be on the list. He has to be. Hurley's going to make him great. It is what it is.
So that was a great pull on AJ Storr. That was a bad miss by me. You mentioned the track record of Bill Self with wings. I would probably kick somebody off. Wade Taylor gets booted for Storr. Also, regarding
Aiden Mahaney, I wanted to acknowledge this possibility too. I think Caravan deserves to be top 10 out of respect because he's been there. He's a two-time champ. He is the elder statesman. I think there's a good chance that like we look back on this season and we wonder how we didn't have Mahaney or Liam McNeely as that top 10 player for a top five UConn squad.
Yeah. Mahaney maybe, even with my doubts. The McNeely thing, I'm starting to think like, and maybe it's just me hearing the loud fan base that is the UConn Huskies, is that like McNeely's role might not be as large as we think because of guys like Jalen Stewart playing. So who really knows? I will say, I'm going to read my 11 through 20 really quickly here. I had Kadari, Cooper Flagg, Graham EK, John L. Davis, Wade Taylor, Hunter Salas, Grant Nelson, LJ Cryer, AJ Storr, no Chad Omier. I think the one I would really advocate for you guys to consider, maybe even being in the 18 to 20 range, I think there's a step for LJ Cryer to take again. Like, he averaged 16 last year. I think, you know, this is what, his sixth year of college basketball. He's scored every single season he's been there. Greg, I know you've been a little bit more down on LJ Cryer. Some of his time at Houston and maybe even at Baylor, I'm not really sure. But I feel like his experience and there being possibly a need for him and Sharp both to take another step with Jamal Shedd leaving. And I've bought into, like, I think Milos is going to be a Jamal Shedd light. Like, Greg, I think you made a great point with that.
I for sure wanted to have a Houston player in this mix. I considered Sharp just because it felt like he had bigger moments than LJ Cryer, but he hasn't shot above 40% from the field in two seasons so far. That was why he got knocked and I had Cryer in there. And I do think Cryer is more of that shot creator type. Should make life on Milos easier. So yeah, I'm with you on that, Cart.
I like Emmanuel Sharp as the breakout guy for Houston if there is one. Just want that on record. But yeah, it's a good, Houston should have somebody in the top 20. So
yeah.
All right, that's a fun exercise. Thank you, Riley Davis, for bringing that to the table. Topic number three, what do we got?
So this is one of my favorite, let's see, how do I want to describe this? One of my favorite social media phenomenons is when teams start putting out those first practice videos. And I can't guarantee that this will be the only time that this is a topic, because you really get some good content in July and August when you get extended practice clips. I know y'all did the video on Purdue and Fletcher Lawyer having a baby chicken wing arm. So this is not me recreating a topic that you've done for a third time today. But I sent you some homework to watch some other videos, some of these other practice videos. And I just want to know, are there any clips that have stuck out to you so far? Is there any team that you think is doing it especially well? I can start by saying, like, I know you touched on Fletcher Lawyer's embarrassingly lack of arm muscles. That Purdue video was fire, though. I am 100% with whoever it was in the Discord that said they've watched it 100 times already. I love that we got a Brian Waddell dunk. That was electric. Yeah, I'm a sucker for all of these videos, but just well done from the editing to the little filter they did on the Purdue video all around. What have y'all seen that's got you excited for the college basketball season?
Purdue's social media team is really good. Just want to give that, like, they always do a great job. There's no surprise that they, like, made a great cut up. And I love the angle they're taking of, like, the next era begins. Like, it's the start of something, not the end of something. I like that. The ones you sent me, so you sent us, USC, BYU, UConn, and Towson as videos to take a look at. I did watch them all. The biggest takeaway, I'm curious if it's your guys', is USC looks horrid.
Yes. That's so bad.
That's been I think they're going to be bad. I think I ranked them 16th, but like this entire cut up that's a minute long is like defensive closeouts, not even good ones at that. Like if my high school team was closing out at this level, I'd be like, this needs horrible footwork restructuring. Muss is so small also. Like, we all know Muss is small, but you watch Muss like in a circle next to Terrence Williams, the man looks like he's 5'1". For whatever reason, he doesn't instill any fear in me as USC's head coach in a way I thought he would, or at least used to at Arkansas. I couldn't be more out on the Trojans. I'd actually like to drop them from 16th to 18th in my Big Ten power rankings. I think this is the worst team in the league next year.
The craziest part about that video, too, not only was it an edit of closeouts, but it has like an Eric Musselman pep talk layered over it that could not be less inspiring. Like, he does not sound like he wants to be there.
Yeah, there's also in those closeouts, there's like three or four dudes who are shaped like Cam Crutwig doing closeouts. And I'm like, what? Who are these guys? It didn't bode well for my USC propaganda. I will say this, the one close up of St. Thomas, he's going to be a first team all Big Ten player. I don't care. I'm doubling down. I'm standing on business. St. Thomas is going to be great this season.
I didn't even notice St. in the video. That's such a bad thing for your agenda.
Oh, I did. I love these videos. I do. I also love it because it one, it's just good to see like actual like footage of the players, and two, it gives, you know, there's some talking points to be done. Like in the Purdue one, the Cam Heidi dunk was very prevalent. Also, the Burgess, I believe his last name is, the freshman big man. He had some moments in there as well as the other freshman. Purdue social team, like Greg said, they do a great job. My BYU social team's here, though. And I'm ready for my voiceover. The Provo boys are here. The honorary Latter-day Saints are here. I'm in. I love the footage of just shoes squeaking. USC show way too much body, way too much body. All BYU's film was shoes squeaking, moving, dunks made threes. That's it. With a simple caption, staying busy with no G on it. If Mark Pope was there, it would have been staying busy during the preseason. Nah, we staying busy now with Coach Young and the boys.
I agree. I really like BYU's. I knew y'all would like it. You don't even see if any of these shots go in. Perfect length, only 15 seconds. It's like a nice little homage, or excuse me, it's only 10 seconds. Like a nice little homage to Vine when you could just watch a ton of Vines and you only waste 2 minutes. Yeah, great work by them. And I threw the Towson one in there just because I love when you get to see teams flaunting their movie nights and their team bonding exercises.
Also, like, great still shot. Who is this like High School Musical character right here? Who is this, Greg? Do you know who this is?
I do not know who that is, but I want to know who that is.
Like, We're breaking free, soaring.
Yeah, like flying. Vanessa Hudgens is him for sure.
Yeah, 100%. He's definitely sliding in multiple DMs this season.
All right, here's your candidates who it could be looking at BYU's roster. Richie Saunders. No, I don't think that's Richie Saunders.
It's not.
Dawson Baker. Trey Stewart. Brody Kozlowski.
That's got to be Brody.
It's got to be Brody.
No, it's either Dawson or Trey. It's got to be.
Is that Brody?
It's Brody Kozlowski.
Is it?
That's Brody Kozlowski.
Oh, yeah, that is, bro. The former USC commit. Or USC transfer. I don't know. One or the other.
Wait, he went to Sierra Canyon?
No. I don't think so.
Corner Canyon. Sorry, I got excited.
Corner. The other canyon.
There's a lot of canyons. Yeah, I mean, on BYU, the Towson one was funny. Like, I guess if you're Towson, yeah, show me the...
We need some footage of our three teams releasing something. The one thing I'm surprised Greg didn't bring up is that Terrace Reed still looks big.
Yeah, I was so distracted by everybody else in the UConn video looking really explosive and good that I didn't pay much attention to Terrace, honestly.
Gotcha.
I was hoping we'd get a little reaction of that nice Terrace Reed drop step.
Where like he looked like he wanted to dunk it, but like his body wouldn't let him get up there.
Terrace has always had a decent drop step. It's that Terrace doesn't know he's playing basketball when he's playing basketball. That's the issue. Like the man, since his freshman year, Carl, we always said the man is an NBA body with a great footwork. Like he's shaped like an NBA player and his foot speed's impeccable. His brain is just like a trick or treater in a unicorn costume.
Such a great
analogy. It might work. Like Dan Hurley might be able to channel that. I don't know. Juwan Howard couldn't. We'll see. Fun topic. Riley, can we get this weekly from you for the rest of the summer?
Yeah, I will gladly do that.
And final segment, as always, one big thing presented by nobody. The floor is yours, Riley Davis.
1A of my one big thing. Shout out to the Tar Heels, Diamond Heels, going to Omaha this weekend. I care about college baseball for 2 to 14 days a year. The 2 days extend to usually when UNC loses in the regionals. I'm hype about it. This team is really fun to watch. Vance Honeycutt is a pro. Dude is clutch. He's got me like breaking down film of outfielders trying to figure out how elite he is at that position. And shout out to the Discord. I've gotten a lot of support, a lot of comments that weighed in last week during their run through the Super Regional. So tune into them if you haven't, even if you're not a baseball guy, just give it a shot. I'm not really a baseball guy, but that's 1A. 1B, on the verge of Father's Day this weekend, I want to give a shout out to both of y'all. First Father's Day for Greg with a child in hand. First Father's Day for Carter with a child in womb. And first Father's Day for me too with a child. So good on us, Greg. Know you're already a great father. Carter, I'm confident you will be one as well. And even just for me personally, it's been fun getting to go through this season with y'all. It was really exciting at the Final Four when Carter told me y'all are expecting. Gave him a big hug. Greg, I've appreciated just getting to like bounce ideas, should I say, here or there, or ask, is this normal? Did Murph do this? Like, what was this like for y'all? So that's been really helpful, and I appreciate having this community of fathers and future fathers.
Appreciate you, Riley. Love you, man.
Man, I love that, but you also stole my one big thing. I was going to say shout out to you guys for Father's Day, especially because, like, obviously, shout out to my dad, shout out to Luther, shout out to just all the father figures in my life. But, like, seeing something about seeing your boys being a father is just, like, even more special, I guess. Like, and obviously, like, I got my other friends. There's too many to name, honestly. They're doing great at having kids, to be honest with you. I just want to say shout out to them. Like, seeing them being fathers is like a whole new thing. Like, you think you know your boys and you are like brothers like that, but seeing them just, you know, be a father is just like something like special and sentimental about that. And because I need to have a day, and because my wife just handed me a beer, I'm going to chug this beer to all the fathers out there, especially my father, but also shout out to Dave, shout out to Talbot, and, you know, enjoy this last Father's Day without me being an actual father, because I'm going to be unbearable on June 16th, 2025 on my mammy.
Wow. Incredible stuff there. Great job, fathers. Great beer chug. Do you think you'll be as good at chugging beer when you're a dad, Cart?
No.
You get worse.
Mm-hmm. I think progressively I might get worse, but I plan on my worst getting energy leading to the greatness of my seed.
Yeah, makes sense. Shout out to Meg for handing you that too. That was a power move by Meg. Gotta love that. Okay, you guys really should have had me go first, because I'm not taking the sentimental Father's Day route, but I will share a quick fatherhood story just so I don't completely skirt this. Agree, Riley. I've had a great time doing just fatherly duties with you. You're the closest friend that I have in age to our children's age. So, like, out of everybody I could talk to about parenting issues, you are the one going through it in the most real time with me. It's been really fun to actually share those experiences together. Can't wait for Cart to be a dad. Of course, it's going to be a great one. Love you guys both. And shout out to my dad, who I think people know this. My parents moved to Kalamazoo, where I live now, from Lansing, where I grew up, really, really quickly after our daughter was born. And it was like never even a decision for them. But I've gotten a lot closer with them in the last year. For, you know, the first time in 10 plus years that I've had them in the same city as me. They love my daughter so much. And my dad had a moment. I was on the golf course with him like a couple months ago. And I was like, kind of logistically talking through, like, oh, we can golf a lot now. Like, I'm excited to golf with you. And thinking like, oh, the days that my mom is watching my daughter, like, you and I can go out and golf. And he kind of like looked at me really weird. And he was like, well, I don't want to golf on the days we have Murphy. Like, I want to hang out with Murphy. And I thought it was like the cutest thing ever. So shout out to Dave. His relationship with my daughter is the best. My one big thing, though, is not Father's Day related. My one big thing is that Luke Combs is a fraud, and we all need to stop doing this. We all need to, as a society, come together and say enough is enough. Luke Combs, right now, right this second, you can look. Don't look, but trust me. He's promoting a new single called Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Take me out to the ball game. This is the man who took Fast Car, one of the 10 greatest songs ever written, and claimed it as his own. Now he's doing it with Take Me Out to the Ball Game. What's next? Is he going to release the Star Spangled Banner featuring Francis Scott Key? I'll be an alum, by the way. We need to stop this before this man goes on Michael Bublé's Christmas show and sings All I Want for Christmas Is You and allows Mariah Carey to join him. What a generous gift he gave Mariah. It's disgusting. He's a talentless fraud. And the best thing he has working for him is that he's relatable and a thief.
Tune in next week.